No kidding. So again, welcome to Bethel Presbyterian Church. Welcome to our outside area, our chapel. If you're visiting with us and it's your first time here, please join us many more times to come here, which is where we worship in the summertime. If we don't have falling weather, we're out here. Now, inclement weather, I tell all our visitors, inclement weather doesn't count cold and heat and humidity. So I know you're somewhat miserable, and even the shade, you're chasing the shade. I can see it by the way you're all scattered out through there. But anyway, shade won't help you in a morning like this when the humidity is as thick as thieves. So anyway, welcome to our church. Welcome to our service outside. The blessing this morning is that following worship, we have refreshments in the back. When we're at the main campus, we call that lemonade on the lawn. This morning, it may be refreshments in the woods or ice cream at the chapel. I'm not really sure what we're calling it, but whatever it is, you're going to share. We're going to share in each other's fellowship following worship this morning. So again, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you. And so scripture this morning, as we begin our message, comes out of 2 Timothy. Timothy, 2 Timothy, or Timothy both, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy are my favorite books in the two of my favorite books in the Bible, although it's kind of hard to have a favorite when you enjoy them all, but this one particularly. And 2 Timothy speaks in its entirety about two things, and I want to talk about those this morning. What its purpose, or what its motto perhaps, if we could give it one, I think 2 Timothy says that as Christians we should run a strong race and we should finish well. Now that's a broad scope, isn't it? We should run a strong race and we should finish well. So our scripture this morning, some things happened over the weekend, and I'll be honest with you, it's taken the wind out of my sails a little bit for this morning's message. But I got up this morning, I woke up about 5 o'clock, and I felt called to change my message, so I did. I didn't change the title, and I want to go into that here in a few minutes, but I did change the end of my message, and I'll tell you why here shortly. But one of the things that I didn't change or wasn't going to change because of the way the scripture reads to us this morning is the scripture that we're going to study. So before we go to the Lord in word, in His word, I want to have a quick prayer. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, I ask you to come to us now, be with us as we share in your word and share in this prepared message. I ask you to open our hearts and our spirits that we understand and can take in the word of God through this scripture reading, as well as heed it, understand it, and share it in our lives this morning, as well as the words prepared in the message that we'll hear shortly. All these things I ask in our living Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So again, scripture comes out of 2 Timothy 2, and it's going to take us all the way to 23. Now, because I've changed the message this morning and the happenings of the weekend, I may drive us into verse 24, but that's as far as we're going to go. So it's not too lengthy, but just hang tight. And we'll get through it. So let's go and see what the Lord has to say. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules, and hard-working farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Think about what I am saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. Always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach. And because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained. So I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. This is a trustworthy saying, Paul is telling Timothy. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. Remind everyone about these things and command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless, and they can ruin those who hear them. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the world and the word of truth. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer. As in the case of Hymettus and Philetus. They have left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. In this way, they have turned some people away from faith. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only starts fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Be able to teach and be patient with difficult people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And Brian's right. We need a ceiling fan up here, Wade. It's hot. So this morning's message, as you can see in your bulletin, is entitled Semper Fi. Last night, we were out to, Cindy and Ashlyn and I were out to dinner with friends, and Penny asked me at the table, she said, you look a little down. What's up? I said, I'm fine. I'm kind of like her dad. Dad, you okay? Yeah, I'm good. Well, I wasn't fine. Just shortly as we traveled from our house to dinner, I had gotten word that a very dear friend of mine who I had worked with for almost 26 years in my profession had passed tragically away from cancer unexpectedly. So I got up this morning with it heavy on my heart and I changed our message. But what's important to know before I begin is how God works. You see, I sent this title and this scripture in to prepare your bulletins on Wednesday. I knew of Scott's situation, but I did not know that it was terminal, and I certainly did not know he would pass before I delivered this message. This message wasn't entitled for him, but this is how God works in our lives sometimes as we face tragedy or disappointment or loss. It's evident to me that God is always in charge and he makes things happen for a reason. And what I share with you this morning before I get started is that without God's help, today I would still be clamoring for words about Scott's departure, and God's provided it for me in a message that I prepared before he ever passed. That's how God works, friends. He's always living with you every day, even in your hardships. So again, this morning's message is entitled Semper Fi. Two Sundays ago, I stood before you and I told you that you live in a nation founded on Christian principles. A God-based nation is the term I used. I quoted scripture from Revelation 3:2-3 that began by Jesus telling us to wake up and strengthen what remains, obey the word of God, and repent. Last week I told you that your hope is in Christ and Christ alone. I said, as followers of Jesus Christ, do not let the hope found in Him be shrouded by today's spin of cheap rhetoric and deceit. Do not allow the world to shroud your true truth in Christ Jesus. I also said that the spin of public opinion doesn't matter. Our hope in Christ Jesus, who gives us life, and that Jesus is all that matters. And His opinion is the opinion that should matter to us, not the world's opinion. So this morning I want to speak about your duty as a servant of Jesus Christ, your duty to each other, and I also want to talk about your duty as a disciple of the Holy Word. As a Christian, we are taught the commandments of Christ so that we obey them. We learn in Scripture that we have a duty to pray, so we pray. We learn that we have a duty of forgiveness. In our very best efforts, thus we forgive. We learn that we have a duty of diligence, and in our very best efforts, we work hard. We work with each other, and we provide our blessings generously to the world, to our church, to our friends, to our families, and to our communities. As Christians, we have the awesome privilege of knowing Jesus. However, this relationship brings with it demands of service. That's right, demands of service. You see, these demands of service we fulfill as we pursue God's pleasure. As believers, we take on a spiritual duty with regard to God, our moral duty with regard to man, and our elastical duty with regard to the Christian leadership that we share. Scripture declares that the Christian's life is one of worship, good works, and submission to godly authority. Therefore, we have a duty to Christ, and we have a duty to Christ's church. This morning, I'm going to take you back to another Sunday morning many of you will remember. Some here present may be too young to remember it, but most of us will. And I, for one, have never forgotten it. And because I was a young boy when it happened. Many years ago, on another fragile day in history, America received word that there had been a terrorist attack on the American Marine base inside their barracks in Beirut. As the reports came in, we learned that hundreds of American soldiers were killed or wounded as they slept quietly in their beds. I still can remember some of the TV footage of the scenes as dazed and bewildered survivors and soldiers worked to dig out their colleagues and friends from the rubble that remained after the attack. However, almost as profound as the terrorist attack itself, I remember an extraordinary story following the attack that was released and far went beyond the fortress walls of the base where the attack occurred. The story goes like this. There was a Marine Corps commandant named Commandant Kelly. At the time, Commandant Kelly was visiting some of the wounded survivors that had been transferred to Frankfurt, Germany's military hospital. Among them was a wounded corporal named Jeffrey Nashton. Jeffrey was severely wounded in the bombing. Corporal Nashton was in critical condition in the ICU and had every medical apparatus known to man at that time connected or attached to him, trying to save his life. But Jeff was coherent and awake, in pain and agony. As Commandant Kelly came close to Corporal Nashton, struggling to move and overcome with the agony and pain of his injuries, Corporal Nashton motioned for a piece of paper and something to write with. Mustering enough strength, Corporal Nashton wrote a brief note and passed it back to the Commandant. On the note were two plain words that have more than plain meaning: Semper Fi. These two words are a Latin motto used and embedded in the code of the United States Marine Corps. Semper Fi means forever faithful. With these two simple words written on a plain piece of paper, Corporal Nashton spoke for the millions and millions of Americans who have sacrificed their bodies, their limbs, their minds, and yes, their lives for our country. And this morning, I declare to you, he wrote the two words on that piece of paper that define you as a Christian in the Church of Jesus Christ. Those who have and who continue to remain ever faithful. Friends, being a Christian means more than merely existing with peace that you believe simply in Jesus Christ. You can't carry that peace alone just because you believe. It's more than biding our time until the Lord calls us home. Being a Christian is more than just sitting around waiting to be called home. Being a Christian means to be forever faithful. To be saved requires faith, but to be a Christian requires work. Faith without works is dead. Notice I didn't say to be saved requires work, but it seems that some people believe that being a Christian means nothing more than showing up to church each Sunday and reciting a prayer that the Lord taught us to pray some many years ago, and as such, once we leave this hallowed place, we can just kick up our feet on the coffee table and coast onward to glory. Being a Christian means nothing of that degree. There is no time to rest, especially in the times where we live. So let me be clear. If you remember nothing I say here today, remember this. God doesn't call us to do nothing. He calls us to serve, and thus we must report for duty every day. In this morning's scripture, Paul is telling Timothy not to simply be strong. Paul told him to be strong in Jesus Christ. Friends, there is a significant difference in our strength and being strong in Jesus Christ. What Paul told Timothy resonates with all of us as followers of Jesus. In this reading, we can see Paul's intent. Paul was telling Timothy that in his own time and his own strength, he would never sustain his ministry here on earth. But the strength of Christ, he could do it. The good news is that God gives us the power to live transformed lives. All we must do is report for duty as faithful servants of Christ Jesus. However, it is our duty to pass this on to others. Let me repeat that. It is our duty to pass on this to others. In Paul's letter, he reminds Timothy of this very thing when he says, "Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people." Again, our Christian duty is to share the good news of the gospel. When we do, others receive God's gracious help and blessings through you and me. But what's more important is that we share in the discovery of joy after we help those with God's blessings. Joy shared with others in Christ Jesus is the greatest joy we will ever know. As you know, because all of you have endured it in your spiritual growth and in your Christian life, because we are Christians doesn't keep us or shelter us from having hardship. I said earlier, to be a Christian requires work. Not just work, but hard work. However, more importantly, progress requires that we also follow disciplined faith on a daily basis in our Christian life. In Scripture this morning, Paul uses three examples: a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. Much like a good soldier, we need to set aside life's obstacles to our spiritual growth. You know, as we live in this crazy world that we seem to turn around in each and every week, one of the things I can assure you that it presents you is obstacles. You need to be a soldier and set them aside, because they will come between you and your spiritual growth with Christ Jesus. And when they do come between you, you will be absent the truth of the Word of God. Paul also instructs us to be like an athlete. Thus, we need to be regimented, follow the coach's rules so that we can experience the will of God. Last but not least, Paul instructs us to be like the farmer. We need to work hard, even when nature stands in our way, persevering through the tough times, because the rewards of our labor are far greater than what the world wants you to believe. All those obstacles thrown at you, all those things that the world claims are better, they don't hold a candle to what we believe. They don't hold a candle to the outcome of what we know is our salvation. However, these are only three examples of how we can discover God's presence in our lives. You see, I have declared to you this morning that you have a duty to God, and you do. Each one of us has a duty to serve God who served us first. God helps us win life's hard battles. He runs alongside us in the race of life, and we stand with Him victorious when we cross the finish line. Friends, God makes us a promise in Scripture, and we all should pay close attention to that promise this morning. It's simply this: follow me, God says, even though the bad times are ahead, or you're present in those times. Follow me, God says, and you shall. It doesn't say you may. It doesn't say you will. It says you shall reap a harvest of rich blessings. This, as a Christian, is hard work. And in Timothy, we see this as Paul tells him to work hard to receive God's approval. Paul tells us, as he speaks to Timothy, to understand the Word of God by studying it, so we can see God's will for us, both in our attitudes and our actions. Our spiritual growth is absolutely dependent on understanding the will of God. Thus, we need to take time and discover how God wants us to live. Friends, we can only do that through the study of Scripture. We can only do that through our time together in worship. We can only do that in our Bible studies and in our Sunday schools. Nothing should come between us and studying the Word of God, for it is where we find the will of God. 2 Timothy, again, is one of my favorite books of the Bible. This morning I told you that I lost a dear friend to cancer, whom I worked with for over 20 years in my professional career. Scott was a man's man. He was a graduate of the Virginia Military Institute, and he served valiantly in the United States Marine Corps. Scott, like all of my Marine friends, one who happens to sit to my right behind me, are man's men. They're hard chargers. No task too big. No hill too high. No obstacle great enough to hold them back. That's a Marine. Hard-charging warriors that have no quit in them. And these men and these women are forever faithful. Now, I know all of you have never, not all of you have ever served in the United States Armed Forces, and some of you are in other branches. There are some Marines in this congregation this morning, but everyone seated here is a Christian, and you are a soldier of God. In the last 2 weeks, I've told you to stand up, speak out, share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world, because it will only be spread through your effort. This morning, I'm telling you it's your duty. I'm also telling you that you are a soldier in Christ's church. And as Christians, you are like Marines. You are forever faithful. As I told you earlier, I titled this message in my study earlier last week before I knew about Scott's terminal situation. So this morning at 5:30, 6 o'clock, I changed the ending of this message. So I could posthumously dedicate this sermon to my friend, Scott Thomas Fairburn. You see, all of my friends, my Marine friends, my Christian friends, they're like Timothy. They are hard chargers. They run strong races, and they finish well. Scott, you finished well. So in closing, remember, God doesn't call us to do nothing. He calls us to serve, and thus we must report every day for duty. I leave you with this final story. On May 19, 1780, in Hartford, Connecticut, a day that has gone down in New England history as a terrible forecast of what Judgment Day may look like. At precisely noon, the skies turned from blue to gray, and by early mid-afternoon had blackened over so densely that in that religious age and era, men fell on their knees and begged a final blessing before the end of time, as they thought it was coming. The Connecticut House of Representatives was in session at that moment, and as some men fell on their knees and asked for forgiveness, others clamored for an immediate adjournment of the House. The Speaker of the House, who was named Colonel Davenport, came to his feet. He silenced them all, and he said these words: "The day of judgment is either approaching or it's not. It is not there. If it is not, there is no cause for adjournment. If it is, I choose to be found doing my duty, and I wish, therefore, that candles be brought in so that we can see what we're supposed to be doing today." There was no adjournment. Those men continued their duty. Friends, when our day of judgment comes, the desire of every Christian should be to be found doing his or her duty for Christ. Use the talents God has invested in you to win back to Him a spiritual profit. Again, let me repeat that. Use the talents that He has blessed you to win back for Him a spiritual profit. That is why God invested His talents in you in the first place. In the words of my grandfather, it's time to pull up your bootstraps and get yourselves to work. In honor of my friend Scott, who on many dangerous missions and occasions in our task force office would retrieve his duty weapon from his desk drawer, adjust his pants as he put on his weapon, he would say, Boys, are you ready? Well, let's roll. We got work to do and we ain't going to get it done sitting here. Simplify. Friends, you got work to do. It's God's work. And you ain't going to get it done sitting here. Simplify. Amen.